following audio is from The Exchange Church. More information is available at theexchangemi.com.
Good morning. It is so good to worship with you this morning, to hear you singing. It is also good to be here this morning. I totally freaked out last night when the trees were bending. And I don't know if I threw my children downstairs into the basement, but we made it safely down to the basement. It is also good to be not in this room when it was 105 degrees this week. Tammy and Jason worked for hours on this floor so that we would not have to tear down this week. So it was very, very warm in this building. My name is Joel, and today our series title is Faithfully Suffering for the Gospel. Faithfully Suffering for the Gospel. And again, much of this work is Joe's outline. He had done the work at Simeon Trust, and just so happened that it was the week that I was teaching, and so I grabbed his notes and was able to use a lot of his work. Second, I would like to thank the three men who wrote the exposition book I used, Exalting Jesus and Timothy and Titus by David Platt, Daniel Akin, and Tony Miranda. And third and finally, I'd like to thank those of you who prayed for me this last week. I have struggled a lot this last week, and preparing was very difficult, and I'd just like to thank those who prayed for me. I would like to take a minute to refresh our minds about this series. We have the Apostle Paul, who is a spiritual father to Timothy, writing some of his last words as he is in jail, and Timothy is at Ephesus, working in a difficult church. Christians are suffering, and there is false teaching all around. Both Paul and Timothy have been suffering as they tell others about the Jesus who was sinless, died, rose again the third day, and then ascended to heaven. Paul is focusing on discipling Timothy and is referring to his life as being a race that is almost finished. Also, I want to make sure we understand the two types of suffering Paul often talks about. Paul uses the term various trials. These various trials we all face because of our mortality, our finiteness, or the presence of sin in this world. These various trials are the hard in our lives, and it is usually only in hindsight that we can see the loving hand of our Father at work in our lives. Paul gives us many instructions on various trials. We looked at James 1:2 a few weeks back, and it says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." But Paul is not writing about these types of suffering here in 2 Timothy. Paul is writing to Timothy about the kind of suffering Jesus refers to in John 15. John 15:18, Jesus says, "If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecute me, they will also persecute you." Note in their last words, both Jesus and Paul call those closest to them to suffer faithfully for the gospel. Here in 2 Timothy, as we read these final, urgent, and loving instructions from a spiritual father, Paul, to a son, Timothy, we find the needed truth and hope to faithfully suffer for the gospel. Today, our text is 2 Timothy chapter 3. verses 10 through 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. We're going to read this text. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. If you have, there's Bibles in the chair back. I don't know what page it's on. I think it's 996. All right, I'm getting some nods. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. We have Paul talking to Timothy, and he says, "You," referring to Timothy, "you, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you this morning, I just thank you for this body of brothers and sisters in Christ who have come this morning to praise you. We just seek to have the Holy Spirit work in our hearts to help us to be able to trust these truths that we hear today. Lord, that we would hear and understand. Lord, just that I would be clear and faithful in teaching your word. Lord, just that we would be able to understand that Paul is discipling Timothy in his last days, and that we would just learn many lessons that we can apply to our lives as we also are called to share the gospel, the good news to those around, and just in doing so, suffer for it. In your son's precious name, amen. The title today is Paul's Life as a Godly Example and Continuing in the Word of God. Paul's Life as a Godly Example and Continuing in the Word of God. During my childhood, my cousin's younger brother followed all things Superman. He followed the cartoon series religiously. He followed Superman with the same red cape, blue tights, and yes, red underwear. After each show, my cousin would throw open the screen door and inform the world that he was Superman. He would then strike the Superman pose. If in the cartoon show that day, my cousin had just watched Superman pick up a car, then my cousin would strut his way to the vehicle in the driveway, convinced that this time he had studied Superman close enough, and today he was going to accomplish that amazing feat. My little cousin followed Superman so much that he was convinced he could achieve the ultimate goal of flying. Just like superheroes can have a big impact on young minds, we are greatly impacted by a powerful human example. Maybe for you it was a teacher who spent the extra time to inspire you, or an older sibling who protected and cared for you. a grandma or a grandpa who is able to fill your love bank every time you saw them. A friend who you watch love others well and just about makes it impossible for you to stay in that foul mood. Or someone in your community group or identity group who you know is praying for you as you go through hard times. One example we celebrate each week is our Jesus, who was the perfect example. As he lived sinlessly in this world and then followed his Father's plan to pay for our sins. Then he rose again from the grave and then went to heaven. Some of us, however, have an incredibly negative example in our minds. And I would like to encourage you this morning to focus on your Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, I don't know if Timothy had followed the Apostle Paul with the same passion as my cousin followed Superman, but in verse 10, Paul reminds Timothy that he followed all things Paul. Let's look at the text, verse 10 and 11. Paul says to Timothy, "You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me." Paul lists all things Paul, or seven categories that Timothy had a lot of knowledge about. It was my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my love, my steadfastness. And if we had not been studying Paul for a while, we would have to ask, what teaching is Paul referring to? Or what was Paul's aim in life again? Or who did he love? Or what was he so steadfast about? But Paul did not have to teach Timothy these things, because Timothy had already learned them by following Paul. Paul had become a spiritual father, an example that Timothy could follow. And Paul wanted to remind Timothy to remember Paul's life examples when things were hard and Timothy was suffering. For instance, Timothy witnessed the love that Paul had for the churches that he visited. He saw Paul's steadfastness and Paul's endurance through endless trials and hardships. He knew much about Paul's persecutions, as many of these persecutions happened close to Timothy's home. Timothy also knew of other persecutions that aren't listed here, of persecution at Rome, at Philippi, and at Ephesus. And Paul reminds Timothy that his Lord rescued him from all of these. How is it possible that Paul's life was spared in these six cities? Did Paul have six lives like some people's cats? I don't think so. Was Paul into martial arts and easily able to defend himself against the wimpy Romans? No. Paul gave the Lord full credit for rescuing him each time. If Paul had made his escape from the angry crowd with rocks about his tactical or physical abilities, then he would have to help Timothy to also have these same abilities to help him be prepared. But this is not the case. Is Paul escaped because God did the rescuing work? Paul is reminding Timothy that yes, he endured the persecution and the suffering, but God did the rescuing work. At this point in Paul's letter to Timothy, Paul has reminded Timothy that he knows just about all things Paul. And now we are going to see how Paul is discipling Timothy. Brings us to our second point, which is Paul teaches about difficult times and suffering. Paul teaches about difficult times and suffering. In last week's text, Chris gave us the 19 things that people will do that will be a sign that we are in difficult times. Let's read this text. It's the same chapter, chapter 3, and it's verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. But understand this, that in last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Paul has taken the time to teach Timothy the comparison between their life and Paul's life. And Paul says, they will be lovers of self, but Timothy, you have seen me love the many churches that I care about and visit. Paul says, they will be without self-control, and you, Timothy, know of my patience and endurance. Paul also many times encourages those who he is discipling to imitate him. In Philippians 3:17, Paul says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. It's not very popular to submit to others or to say that someone is more mature and wiser than I am. But this is one of the very basic truths of the Christian life, that we will all be discipled by someone and need to be discipling someone. Just as Paul's gospel-formed life is something that we are all called to, so too should we expect to suffer persecution for the faith as he did. In chapter 3 of Timothy, Paul has a lot to teach Timothy about suffering. Look with me at verse 1. Paul says, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. And then look in verse 12 and 13. Paul says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people, imposters, will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Paul is teaching and discipling Timothy about scary stuff that is hard to even hear about. Times of difficulty, people to avoid, you will be persecuted, and it's going to get worse. I want you to remember that Paul loves Timothy. Paul is discipling Timothy, and Paul is preparing Timothy with truths for the hardships that are ahead. Paul did not give Timothy false hope of the future. It would be unkind of Paul to paint an untrue picture of roses, rainbows, puppies, and butterflies. Paul is discipling Timothy with wisdom and love, and has already discipled Timothy with some truths that we are going to look at. The first truth is that Paul tells Timothy to be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2:1 together. Just a page back, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Paul is telling us, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The good news is that we are not to walk through our suffering in our own strength, but to be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We are commanded to have the grace of God do the work in us. The second truth that Paul reminds Timothy, that the Lord did the work of rescuing. In 2 Timothy 3:11, Paul says, "Which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me." Praise God that Paul is telling us and Timothy to not go in our own strength. When I'm operating in my own strength, and I hear Paul's words to Timothy about suffering for the gospel and that things are going to get worse, and again, I'm operating in my own strength, I respond in the following wrong ways. I act as if it's all on my shoulders to win the battle. I will think or tell God that he is asking far more than his children should bear. I feel the need to be like Paul Revere, shouting, "The redcoats are coming," but to tell you all to hide your Bibles and run for the hills. I can become disoriented by difficulty and wonder if I was ever a believer. Again, these are ways that when I operate in my own strength that are not using God's strength. Overcoming persecution in our own strength is silly. And that is why we should encourage each other with 2 Timothy 2:1. "You then, my children, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." As we consider ways that we may suffer for the gospel, Paul now encourages Timothy to remember his salvation. Let's look at verses 14 and 15 of chapter 3. Paul says in verse 14, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which were able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Paul points Timothy back to his mother and grandmother who taught him the scriptures. And he points Timothy back to what he learned, says the words that could make him wise for salvation. Those words of salvation that Timothy needed to remember are the same gospel words that his grandmother, mother, and Paul had given him in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. If you'd turn there, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. Paul says, "As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you." Then we're going to skip down to verse 8. "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began." Paul is saying to Timothy, God has saved you, and he has saved me. And then Paul goes to a step further, and he says, he's called you to a holy calling. He's called us to a holy calling in verse 9. It's important to remember these words of salvation. We are made wise to endure difficult and deceiving persecutions when we continue in the gospel word. In conclusion today, my final point is to use the total sufficient scriptures. To use the total sufficient scriptures. Verse 16 and 17. Chapter 3. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The Bible is a gift to us. We should use it for every good work. I would like to encourage you in the following three ways. Go to the Word this week with anticipation of its power to work. Go to the Word with anticipation of its power to work. The second thing would be, remember, when faced with persecution of any form, the gospel word that sustained Paul and Timothy is the same word that will sustain us. Remember, when faced with persecution of any form, that the gospel word that sustained Paul and Timothy is the same word that will sustain us. The third one is to identify ways that God has called you to share the gospel. Identify ways that God has called you to share the gospel. I'd like to read the text one more time. And as I do, I'd like you to have in mind Paul lovingly discipling Timothy. Verse 10. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, and my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from me the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I'd like to close in prayer. Lord, I thank you so much for this letter from Paul to Timothy that we can just absorb. We can just see the trials that Paul and Timothy went through and see how some of those trials are similar to things that happen in today's world. Lord, I just ask that you would calm our hearts, that we would trust your word. Lord, that we would by faith be able to trust in your Son, and that you would do this great work. I just thank you, Lord, for this church. In your Son's precious name, amen.